The Gospel reading is taken from James chapter 4, verses 11 to 17, and can be found on page 1149. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbour? Now listen, you who say tomorrow or today we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. So then, if you know the good you ought to do and don't do it, you sin. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
I'm pretty sure there was more to the sermon than is on this piece of paper. Unfortunately, I don't have Paul's mind to add in the anecdotes and whatever he was going to add in there, so we'll do our best. So James, a wise and good leader of the church in Jerusalem in the first century, who was commended by Paul, respected among Jewish believers. James was the brother, or half-brother, if you like, of Jesus. And he wrote his letter to Jewish Christians scattered throughout Turkey and the Mediterranean world because of the persecution that arose after Stephen's death. They were suffering all kinds of troubles, the normal troubles we suffer in our everyday life, and on top of that, persecution and pressure on account of their faith. And it makes sense that James, their former spiritual leader and pastor, would send them a letter to encourage them in their trials and to urge them to continue living sincere and faithful Christian lives in their circumstances and to shine like Jesus there. And all the way through this letter, we have found James searching beneath the surface of the problem to the actual problem, which is always the human heart, which is what accounts for the way we behave in our lives, the words that come out of our mouth and our attitudes. And he encourages us to return to that source, to check it out, and to try and embrace attitudes of humility and of love for God so that our actions will be right and our speech will be right. And this letter can have rich meaning for our relationships within this church community as together we seek to live out the life of Jesus within us and among us. And this applies not only to the words that James talks about, slandering one another and judging one another, but also about our plans for tomorrow. Paul had planned to be here today, had it in his diary, prepared the sermon, ready to go, but he's not here. Who knows what will happen to us in the night or in the morning? I think many of us will have experienced that in the course of our lives, an unexpected thing. You never know what is going to pop up next in your life, do you? What is going to pop up next? And I had an experience recently where, this is me going off piste now, this isn't Paul, where we had made, Lawrence and I had made some quite elaborate plans. We had worked quite hard. They were all coming along and suddenly they had to stop. We had to throw the whole thing in reverse and go in a different direction. And I felt the Lord saying to me, take all your lovely criteria and all your beautiful planning, put it in the bin, because I'm going to show you where you must be next. And that was what happened. So that is quite tumultuous. But the point is not that we don't make plans, but we make them in that openness of mind and humility of spirit, that they are plans to lay before God for his blessing and for his scrutiny, rather than things that we, in our arrogance, assume that we will achieve for ourselves. So, humility is key in the book of James, but humility towards each other and humility towards God himself. And James is enormously practical. He bases his teaching on tradition, especially the teaching of Jesus, who, although he doesn't quote him directly, he doesn't mention his name, he quotes Jesus all the time. There are perpetual references to the Sermon on the Mount and also to the Proverbs. So in our study today, James encourages us to learn to live without critical attitudes towards each other. Because when we look at each other to criticise, what was your word? It wasn't slander, it was disparage. When we look at each other to disparage each other with a critical mind, and we don't bother to look at ourselves in the same way, this can threaten to disrupt a close-knit community such as this lovely church here. So James says, don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. Don't slander or disparage one another. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law, which is love the Lord your God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind, and with your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Because on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that mirrors the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount very, very exactly. Jesus warns us against judging or slandering others. Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you also will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So we've got to expect to be treated as we treat other people. And we're all prone to assessing or judging others. And there's a difference between judging and assessing. Assessing others' behaviour is a necessary part of our life, part of our natural defence that informs our fight or flight response when we see behaviour that's potentially threatening or dangerous for us. And correcting someone we care about can be a healthy and even life-enhancing action. So forming critical or negative opinions about other people's failings is a universal problem among human beings. And even in church, we find it hard to shake off that mindset. We've all been judged or unfairly criticised, I am sure, in the course of our life. We know how awful it feels and how seldom it produces anything other than hurt and anger. And though we may say we have good intentions and we speak from our superior knowledge, when we try to correct others, our actions fail more often than not, especially if they don't come from a heart of love. Judging others puts us, well, we put ourselves on the high moral ground, and it diminishes those we're judging. Mother Teresa famously said, if you judge people, you've got no time to love them. And judging someone, even if we're right, is an easy shortcut of making a negative evaluation of them and standing back rather than standing in solidarity with them and helping them on their way, which is the work of the Holy Spirit for us. He's the one who comes alongside. He doesn't simply say, you're going wrong. He says, come, let me walk with you. Let me walk with you, and we'll do this together. So change for them and for us involves adopting a new narrative of humility under God and spiritual disciplines, keeping ourselves tuned to God and community together. And with the help of God, we will do much better. The other thing is that our judgment may be, and often is, wrong. We can't know each other very well. We can't know each other. We only see the very tip of the iceberg of each other's lives. But God knows them, their entire history, their makeup. He made them. He knows them. He only is the one who is able to judge. So although we feel justified sometimes in our judgmental attitudes, the truth is we don't have access to all the information. And the old saying contains a great truth. Do not judge another until you have walked a mile in their shoes. So our knowledge of each other is limited, and it's impossible for us to truly understand why people act in the way they do. We would be better to imitate God in his patience towards us, and he's giving us time to grow. Slander breaks three of the Bible's commands. When you slander someone, you steal a person's reputation. It often infers a lie or an untruth bearing a false witness, and it's not loving your neighbour as yourself. That's three chunky commandments there, which are violated by our slander of each other. We break the law of God and the love of God when we judge other people. So Jesus says, and James echoes him, do not judge other people. Sit in humility before God and sit in humility before your fellow human beings. Ask God for wisdom and pray. And the first thing to do if you feel critical about someone is to pray for them. And I urge you to practice that this week and always. Because when we pray for someone, something in our heart shifts towards longing for that person's well-being. It's impossible not to feel compassion for them as we pray for them. And prayer also helps us by gently correcting our own minds as the Holy Spirit works in us to understand and to be more gentle in our actions. Prayer is a wonderful gift from God. We invite God into the situation so that we're not alone, but collaborating with him in an effort to help others. And that way, we begin to feel more compassion and less criticism. It's hard to continue to pray for someone and continue to condemn them at the same time. We need to remember that God sees each one of us as his own beloved children, made in his image and destined for glory, for the completion of the beauty that is in us. That is how God sees us. And we also need to learn to see each other in that way. The whole business of judging others is in God's hands, for he alone knows the secrets of a person's heart. It's difficult to pray for someone regularly and continue to dislike them. Something will change in us. We may begin to understand each other more and have sympathy for them, even begin to love them. The last word on judging others comes from Jesus, teaching from the Sermon on the Mount with his most memorable words, which we call the Golden Rule. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is all the law and the prophets. So may the Lord embed his wisdom in our minds and our hearts this week, so that we bear fruit for him. Amen.